all corporations should become, you know, more responsible and more sustainable. And many of them we are seeing that are doing climate pledges.
Well, we call it carbon mathematics. You have to find a way that the emissions of a process are less than the amount of embodied or sequestered carbon dioxide.
You talked a little bit about Cork carbon removable certificates. What are they?
It's a unit. It represents 1 ton of CO2 removed from circulation.
NVIDIA, one thing about the registry is that everybody can look at this registry and see what has been issued and which corporation has bought our CO2 removal certificates.
Welcome to Mindful Businesses, presented by Sarani, and I'm your host, Vidya Iyer. In our podcast, we bring to you brands that are mindful in their practices and processes. A mindful business adopts and employs sustainable social, economic, and environmental practices. Today, we have with us Helba Horta, Head of Communications, and Tibiba Vainen, CEO at Puro Earth, Carbon Removal Standards. Welcome, Helba and Ente, and I apologize in advance for if I mispronounced your name.
No worries. Thank you. Pleasure to be here, Vidya.
Thank you, Vidya.
Helba and Ente join us from Helsinki, Finland. Welcome, both of you. In the book written by John Doerr, Speed and Scale, he talks about the contributors to the greenhouse gases by sector. So he estimates in 2019, around 59 gigatons were put out in the atmosphere. And the largest was the industry, the manufacturing, the transportation, and agriculture. He talked about reducing the carbon that each of these sectors put out into the atmosphere. But another way to reduce carbon in the atmosphere is by carbon removal technology, right?
And it's good to state that it is first and foremost important thing is to reduce the emissions. Of course, that is every single, all of our own responsibility. Every single one of us can reduce our emissions immediately and continuously. I've done it. You've done it. We all should do it. Concentrate, you know, measure our emissions and then identify the places where we can reduce them. Unfortunately, it is inevitable that there will be some residual emissions and those we need to remove.
How is carbon removal different than carbon credits?
In a way, carbon removal is a form of a carbon credit. But if we look at the traditional carbon markets, typically the carbon credits have been based on emission avoidance. So in a way, companies and organizations and entities that have bought these carbon credits have outsourced their emission reductions to somebody else. And in this post-Paris Accord world, that is no longer acceptable. As I said, everybody needs to reduce their own emissions to the extent possible.
They have to take personal responsibility.
Personal, your municipality has to reduce their emissions, your country has to reduce their emissions, your workplace has to reduce their emissions, your continent has to reduce their emissions, and so forth. It is everybody's responsibility to do that. Now, carbon removal is, in a way, a carbon credit that just represents 1 ton of CO2 taken away from circulation.
Coming back to the point about each person's responsibility, say we take the manufacturing industry, or any business, they have to look into their scope 1, scope 2, scope 3 emissions. Can you talk a little bit about what is scope 1, scope 2, and scope 3?
Yeah, like you said, Vidya, all corporations should become, you know, more responsible and more sustainable. And many of them we are seeing that are doing climate pledges, you know, to become carbon neutral, to become carbon net zero. And there are some steps that they take. So, for example, they first reduce as much as possible within their own operations, which is the scope one. And then they reduce down the line into their own supply chain. And then they reduce over to where they have effect all the way down to their product and where their product goes to. So all of those scopes need to be calculated as to what is the carbon footprint in them And then the company should, first of all, do a program of reductions. And then if it's not possible to reduce something, then they should remove from the atmosphere. And how do they do that? Well, they can compensate by buying carbon credits, as you mentioned. They can also be part of helping to produce new carbon removals, because these are technologies that are still very much in the infancy stages. Many of them need money to be able to build the infrastructure needed if they are small and starting to expand their operations. So the corporations should be investing in those companies, in those projects, so that later on they can buy carbon credits from them to be able to compensate for the corporate carbon emissions. So it's sort of, you know, chicken and egg problem at the moment, that the corporations are needing to compensate for the carbon emissions, but there's not enough carbon removals out there. So we need to start scaling this industry. And one of the ways that can be done is through this compensation, through carbon credits, or through investing into the projects.
So how can an individual, a consumer, influence corporations to remove their carbon emissions on a micro level if you start talking?
Yeah, I mean, any employee can influence their company, right? I mean, first of all, apply to work at a company that is sustainable. And if you're already in a company, you can talk to the management and say, hey, you know, shouldn't we have a sustainability approach to how we work? Should we change our business model? We should look for opportunities to reduce our emissions in all parts of the business. And also, as a consumer, you can start sponsoring companies who make products that are carbon neutral or that somehow are helping, that have these other benefits, social and environmental benefits. So I think that consumers have a lot of power and employees do too, advocating for better and more sustainable corporations.
When we talk about carbon credit and carbon removal technologies, we are talking about the voluntary carbon market?
That's correct, yes.
So explain to our listeners, what is a voluntary carbon market?
First of all, I think it would be good to define what is a, let's say, non-voluntary, that means a sort of a compliance market. In multiple regions, businesses that belong to emission trading system of some sort. And these sectors, industry sectors, are typically the ones that pollute the most. Companies that generate energy, maybe working in, let's say, construction, sort of everything that is producing mining or, you know, any metals, those are typically within these sectors. And they need to buy emission allowances, which is a weird concept altogether. Who gives the allowance to pollute, I think, is an interesting question mark.
True.
Yeah, the voluntary side is then all the others, so that do not belong into these mandated or compliance markets. And there the companies have realized that sustainable business practices can be a source of competitive advantage. Yeah, and that's why they want to contribute to the climate and other social and environmental topics in a way that they want to minimize the negative impact.
So what is the economic benefit for the corporation? Like you said, and it's a bottom line, like Milton Friedman said, the businesses are in the business of making money. So they won't do it, right? Otherwise, it's a nonprofit or a government and agency. What is the benefit? What's the economic benefit to them?
Well, I think that at this point, when the markets are seeing a lot more pressure from consumers and from governments and from regulators, and just because we know that the science is there, that we have to be able to reverse this global warming that is happening. I think that that's enough for a business to say, okay, there's going to be some risks in the future for my business, for actually for what I do, and they need to mitigate those. We're seeing that in the finance sector, companies like BlackRock, you know, announcing that if you don't have sustainability in your core business, you will not have finance for your business. So there is now more and more of this reality coming to the corporate world. This is why the whole ESG, environmental and social governance, ratings, reporting, all of that is growing within the corporate world, because I think it's just coming to a point where it is unavoidable. We must already start mitigating for climate risks, or the business is not going to survive.
So Mindful Businesses has been podcasting since June of 2019, and I've seen the change. When in 2019, I would talk to people, it would be like recyclable straws, or, you know, where do you take your milk jugs? And now it's literally every 2 weeks, there are concepts which are getting attention. They're coming to the center. For instance, your concept, your business of carbon removal. We've had actually a couple of guests. I don't know if you had a chance to listen. Carbonate and Ferroc.
Okay, Carbonate, we know very well.
They talk about during the process of manufacturing, absorbing the carbon to reduce, prevent it from even getting out, right? And then use it, in case of Carbonate, as aggregates for construction. These are concepts which literally every couple of weeks, they probably were there 20, 30 years ago, but they all, the importance and the seriousness of climate change is so imminent that people are now putting their investment and their energies in these technologies.
But there's so much innovation taking place at the moment in the world, and we are exposed to quite a lot of it. So we are working together with XPRIZE, for example, organization that has set up this challenge for, you know, removing a gigaton of or a billion tons of CO2 from the atmosphere.
How do they plan to do that?
Well, that's the whole point. There's a challenge, which means there's a price at the end of it. The best, the team that is deemed to be the best will get the $100 million reward or prize. And of course, there have been hundreds of very serious teams, out of which 60 have been selected to be finalists in a way. Yeah, so we've been helping XPRIZE to evaluate. We've given our expert opinion on some of those teams. And of course, we are offering them the opportunity to monetize their negative emissions along the way.
So you are evaluating the carbon net technologies, which will help carbon removal and for this competition, right?
Yes, our team members have acted as expert reviewers. That is correct, yes.
How do you review it? Like, what is the process? Because it's still fairly new. What are the standards that you're looking for?
Well, we call it carbon mathematics.
Okay.
It's boiling down to physics and chemistry and just regular logic that you have to find a way that the emissions of a process are less than the amount of embodied or sequestered carbon dioxide. That's the simple equation. And the teams need to be able to demonstrate, or, you know, the suppliers of negative emissions in our ecosystem every day, they need to be able to demonstrate that, not only to us, but the independent third-party verifiers that actually make sure that their claims are true.
How do the independent party verifiers verify that the claims are true? How do you believe the information that's provided to you?
Well, we've tried to reinvent the wheel as little as possible. These are ancient or age-old practices that we rely on, although applied in a new manner to a new process.